Welcome to Blind Bargain's audio coverage of CSUN 2013. Brought to you by...
On the American Foundation for the Blind website, you'll find everything you need to know about blindness and visual impairment. Search our national job bank, discover the history of Helen Keller, read our blog on current issues, find professional resources, and even more. Our site is completely accessible. Check it out at www.afb.org.
Now, here's J.J. Meadow.
We are here at CSUN 2013 with Matthew Janosauskas, product manager for the Victor Reader Stream. And guess what we're talking about? The brand new Victor Reader Stream. Matthew, welcome to Blind Bargains.
Thanks, J.J. It's good to be here.
Sure. The new Victor Stream is, I guess, in the process of being released right about now. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it and how it differs from the first one?
Okay. So we announced the stream a few weeks ago now, I guess it was, at ATIA, mm-hmm. and we started shipping them last week. Yes, but here at CSUN, it's the first time a lot of people have been able to get their hands on it, so there's a lot of excitement there. So the original stream, I'm sure some of your listeners are familiar, it was launched in 2007, and as most things go, you start to run into limitations on, you have great ideas, but you can only do so much with five-year-old hardware. So, and even for repairs, components get to be end of life. We can't even source them anymore to fix things. So it gets to be time to make some changes, and you don't do that at this point. You start doing it a few years in advance, so that's what we've been doing in the background. So the new stream, what we've done, it's not a Stream 2 or a Stream XL or whatever. We're kind of following the new marketing trends, you want to say?
The Apple, the new iPad.
I actually like that. I know there's mixed feelings. But
it worked until they put out another iPad a few months later.
And we're not going to do that. Right. So it's still a stream, which is what you and I are going to mm-hmm. talk about. So the idea was to take everything that people told us they loved about their stream and to make sure that we didn't change any of that and to be positive that anything that we did change or add was truly an enhancement.
Sure,
that's what it was about.
You noticed, right? I noticed when I looked at it that the button layout is the same.
It's not only is the layout the same, but the size of the keys are the same, the spacing is the same, because users told us, even if you ever make a smaller stream, which this is, and we'll talk about that, please don't change the keypad. So we didn't.
So, all right, so it is, how much smaller is it than the first one?
The stream is about, it's just under 30, it's like 28, so we're saying it's almost 30% smaller. So it's significantly smaller form factor, and it's also quite a bit lighter mm-hmm. than the original. And even the housing, it's got beveled sides and edges now. It's not, the original stream was kind of squared and boxy feeling.
So are you able to still, as far as the ports, are they pretty much still in the same spots? Or?
We've done a few changes, so that's a good place to start. We moved the headphone jack to the top next mm-hmm. to the SD card. We found out that a lot of guys tend to put it in their shirt pocket when they're listening, and it was a little awkward having the connector on the side of the device.
Ah, okay.
So on the right side, where it used to be both connectors, now it's only the external microphone. Is in a similar place to where it was.
Okay.
The record button's almost in the same place. It's just a little more towards the top. One of the things you'll notice is the top of the player, it only has the headphone jack and your SD card. So what's missing is there used to also be a USB up there, right?
Right.
So that's been moved to the bottom, and it's now a micro USB.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that used to be up there was your AC charging connector, which is completely gone. So everything is done, data transfer and charging is all done through micro USB now, which is on the bottom.
Right, which is pretty much the standard for mobile devices at this point.
It is, and it was a popular request. And
so you can now charge through the computer because of that?
Most of them. I mean, we're still having to do a little educating with people. I think that not everyone's aware that not all USB ports are created equal.
No, right, especially with older computers. They weren't always built for charging.
I'm learning some of these standards, too. Apparently, there is a universal symbol for that. There'll be like a lightning bolt on the port that has charge, like an amp of charging power. You might know more about that than me, but apparently there are some visual indicators now on the new
laptops. Well, not to mention, and then also, usually charging via USB is going to be slower than the wall.
It's always going to be slower.
Yep.
So the product does come with a USB AC adapter. Mm-hmm. There's nothing special about it. You can use the one for your iPhone or whatever. We just say as long as it's a 1-amp rated USB charger.
Right.
Most of them are.
So that being said, I mean, I guess that eliminates one of the, you used to have to spend extra for the power adapters. Like if you lost your power supply, now you can just get a regular micro USB cable.
Exactly, and it also eliminates the ugly issue some people had of not labeling their chargers. It can all feel the same and mm-hmm. plugging in the wrong one and
Right,
that
sure.
can ruin your whole day.
Sure. What about the battery? Is it still proprietary, or is it?
It is. It's changed. However, the there used to be a friction fit battery door that slid off when the mm-hmm. battery was inside. So now it's a it's an integrated component. So the battery and the door is just one piece. That there's a little latch that releases it on the back.
Okay. And go ahead.
It is still proprietary,
sure.
though.
Sure. And then as far as the battery life, how did that work out, shrinking the size?
That's probably, our R&D would want me to tell you, that was probably our most difficult engineering challenge, because it's so much smaller of a battery, but the specification was that it had to maintain the famous Stream 15-hour battery life.
Right.
That I don't think anyone else is still doing, and we were able to achieve that, and that was difficult.
All right. So, also, as far as SD, is it still SDHC, or are you supporting the new the XC format?
So, we have SDHC support, so that's up to 32 gigabytes. We're aware of the 64 gig XC cards,
yeah,
but there's not official.
Well, at least,
support.
Well, there's 64, there's 128 now, even.
Are those out too?
Yeah.
Okay.
They
okay.
keep getting bigger.
All right. So, right now, I don't know about those, but the 64 ones, let's call it a workaround for now. You can, the stream's able to format SD cards. So, mm-hmm. if you let it reformat to the FAT. File system, it'll work.
Will it format all 64 gigs?
I'm not positive about that, and that's why I'm calling it a workaround.
Got you.
But it'll make the card usable, is the point.
Right.
But I'm saying it's not officially supported.
So at this point, pretty much 32 gigs are probably the safest bet if you wanted to.
Yes, because we guarantee that you can that'll work.
Okay.
The other one, we're assessing. There's I'm still educating myself about this, but apparently it's kind of an unusual situation. So far, I'm learning that the standard is licensed through Microsoft, which is really surprising to me.
They even make SD cards?
No, that's why it's. But it's this the file system,
right?
So there's royalties involved, and that translates to increased. Costs of the player, and
yeah,
I'm not sure that it's really that necessary. You can put a lot of books on 32 gig cards, mm-hmm. but I mean, we're certainly open to it, so we welcome okay. the feedback. If that's really important to people,
sure.
I'd like to know.
Sure. So you've also added, there's built in as a wireless chip now?
There is. So there's wireless on board, and it's
802.11n?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay.
So right now, what we're doing with the wireless is. Beginning steps, let's say, since it's new. And I'll back up a half a step and say that's the only change on the player's interface, which we have. That's
okay.
We haven't talked about the keys yet, but we'll say that they're all exactly the same. The key
sure.
that people know.
Mm-hmm.
There's just one key that we added above the number 2. So it's in between the go-to and the bookmark key, and it's round, and that's the online key.
Okay.
So we've mapped a long press of that. We'll toggle an airplane mode to
okay.
disable the wireless. And then pressing it, we've kind of... This might change in the future, but for now, the concept, you know, you've always had the bookshelf navigation for podcasts and mm-hmm. Daisy books and your content. So right now we're looking at introducing, maybe we'll call it a bookcase. So you'd have this the standard existing bookcase with the bookshelves I just
okay.
mentioned. And then when you press that online key, you would toggle to the online bookcase, which can contain some other things we'll talk about later.
Sure.
For now, what it does... when you go online, it'll confirm if you've already configured it for your wireless network. It'll tell you it's connected to Wi-Fi, and it'll silently in the background query the Humanware servers to see if there's any software updates available. And if there are, it'll prompt you to press play to download and install it. It's just a completely automated process now.
So no more having to use the Stream Companion or the...
You
know, or
you can still do those things, but you don't have to anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second feature that is in there now at launch time is the... at the same time it's doing a check for updates, it also checks to our database to see if you've been approved for an NLS key and if it exists for your serial number. And if it does, it'll download and install that automatically.
So that's one less step. Like you still have to go... through the NLS form?
Unfortunately, yes, and it's still a multi-step process of
right.
inquiring and asking and then getting the serial number.
Yeah, you know, it seems like if they'd had you approved from a previous player, they could be a little more fluid there. But
we asked about that.
Right.
Because
you have people that have, you know, multiple players and obviously authorizations. But
we would like to see NLS streamline that, but it's a little beyond our control. The part we can do is the installation of the key, so we've done what we can.
So as soon as you generate the key... Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, what happens is the actual keys are created and sent by us at the end of the process.
Mm-hmm.
So what we can do is we can maintain those in a location online that
gotcha.
The player
right.
has to check.
Okay.
And if it sees one for your serial number, just grab it and install it. Because those are just a couple of K. They're a tiny file.
Okay.
You'd never even know it happened.
Okay. Anything else? Is there any Bluetooth in this version? Or?
There is not Bluetooth. We queried the users and asked how important is that, and something interesting in product management. If you just ask the question that way, should we add Bluetooth to a new stream? Everyone's going to say yes, of course.
Right.
Well, then you say okay, and if that made it cost a little more, wait a minute. And how much would you use that? Do you use your wireless audio every day? Have you ever tried Bluetooth audio? Are you aware it's not quite equal to? You know, and if you dig into these things more, basically what I'm saying is we found out that the increased cost that it would bring to the player really wasn't justified when there's workarounds like those little dongles that can plug into the
sure.
earphone jack.
Yep.
So
okay.
I think we made the right call for now. Bluetooth still can be frustrating at best, right? You never know when you're going to have to repair for no explanation.
Okay.
Just not sure that we were ready to go there, and the users seem to agree. But again, that's
right.
It's not something that I want to be the decision maker for. If the users disagree and Bluetooth is a lot more important than we perceive, we want to know about that.
Okay, sure. You also added a clock chip in this one?
We did. It has a real-time clock inside. That was a fairly popular request. It sounds like a small thing, but it also, on the technical side, it allows us to do some things in the future. Some DRM schemes are based mm-hmm. on time.
Sure.
So on the original hardware, we would have never been able to support those.
Right.
So it has that possibility.
As far as the clock, are you able to wake up at a certain time to music or a book or things
no,
like that?
No, it does not have an alarm function. Right now, it's just to tell. What we did is we mapped it to the sleep key. So the first press of that will always tell you the current time and date,
okay.
and then subsequent presses will give you the previous sleep functionality.
Okay.
And there's some things we could do with that, as you said, alarm functions and some other ideas with
okay.
updates.
Great. Since you have one there in front of you, mm-hmm. we might as well just listen to it quickly. I mean, it's just to hear what it sounds like. Obviously, the functionality, it sounds like it's pretty, what do you call it, similar at this point?
Yes, right. Yes, I would, and that's our whole point about changing as little as possible mm-hmm. on the player, which
sure.
people are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So the two things that we would do is I'll play some recorded audio and some text-to-speech,
okay.
and that's to show you two things. And going back to the user requests that we've fulfilled, probably the number one user request was to add a better speaker to the
sure.
stream. The original was certainly a functional speaker until you stepped away from the player or there was any competing noise in
right.
the room. So this will easily fill a normal-sized room
okay.
with normal ambient sound.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a tremendous improvement. And then on the text-to-speech side, we used to use Vocalizer
mm-hmm.
for Nuance, and we've changed to a cappella speech. We've been using it on the Victor Reader Stratus for
sure.
a year or so now, and we were even able to use a higher quality of a cappella than the Stratus. We were able to use the highest quality they offer because
okay.
the new stream has enough
processing. Which voices do you have?
The English version of the software has Heather and Ryan included,
okay.
and then there's different combinations for different localizations.
Okay.
So let's play
Turn
some audio here. For you.
Published by the Dundurn Group, Toronto. www.dundurn.com.
Is that a maximum right there? Or?
Copyright
that
is.
Yeah, that you can. I would say maybe what it's close to double the volume of the old.
I think so.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah. And what we did is in the user testing, at the maximum volume, depending on the audio source, you can have just the slightest edge of distortion,
mm-hmm.
and we're aware of that. That was a conscious decision. The two choices that I gave to the testing team was we could basically slide the scale of volume settings down by one so that it would be impossible to distort.
Right.
Volume one would be even less than now. Or we could leave it as is and document that, yes, we're aware there could be distortion and it's not going to do any damage to the player at all. But if you're in a place like you and I are, JJ, with the chaos of an exhibit hall or something,
sure.
or you're on a train platform and you want just that little extra and you're willing to sacrifice the quality, and basically the majority said, no, we'd rather have the extra top volume.
And that's
not uncommon, is
no,
it, for devices?
Well, no, and not to mention sometimes audio is going to be a little quieter anyway. So.
Yeah, so we thought that was the best decision. So I'll show you the text-to-speech.
Sure.
Okay, so let's... Actually, this is a CNIB Daisy book that has both, so I'll just toggle to the
text-to-speech audio.
And that's another point. People are asking if we still have the human recorded prompts, and on the English version, we do.
Okay.
10-1-55002-559-7 ISM-13
speed
978-1-55002-559-0 All rights reserved.
There you go. Obviously, a familiar voice to probably most of the people listening. Though.
It is, and should we show them the male voice?
I'll sure, might as well.
Public.
Is that an alarm? What is this? What is that?
That's Chick's bell. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
We'll leave it on the podcast. You know what? For the
PC.
The audience.
Reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means.
Yep, there you go.
So it's been received pretty well. I mean, as you said, it's familiar voices to some, and to others that are only familiar, they only use a stream and they're familiar with Vocalizer, it's a pretty notable change for them.
Right, sure, definitely.
Yeah.
So so looking forward, at this point, it sounds like you've done a lot of the hardware changes, but the Wi-Fi, is there more to come? You kind of alluded to the...
Yes.
So,
software updates for the Victor Reader line have always been free, and that won't change. And we kind of have a proven track record of being able to do several updates per year, usually around two, maybe three. And I don't expect that to change either. So certainly now with the new hardware, we'll be focusing our efforts on making the most of it. So I think it's fair to say you could expect to see some interesting things later this year for wireless functions, and those could be a couple of things. I've certainly been talking to a lot of people here at CSUN, and as it usually is the case, depending on who you're talking to, I've talked to some young folks that right away, oh, you got to give us internet radio, and I think that would be fun. I guess
podcasts
it would be.
And
yeah, podcasts. However, most of the users they keep us grounded and remind us that it's a book player first and foremost. So
right.
I really believe as a product manager that that's really where our priorities should remain. So any type of wireless content, downloading of books.
Sure, it's like tying in like to the Bookshare API. And
Yes, and there's several examples of people that are, the timing is actually good. The one you mentioned, Bookshare has some tools available that we could use. We've been talking with Learning Ally that's in a similar position right now.
Mm-hmm.
And by far, we all know the most popular that we could possibly do would be NLS. However, unless you're aware of anything that's changed, I don't think that their response is any different than it's been for some time. When you ask them what their plans are for wireless downloading of books, many, many libraries in Europe have committed to DOD, the DAISY online delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to do that? Are they going to do something more proprietary? I think they're still telling people they don't know. So obviously we don't know what to do with that either.
Well, right. It seems like they're working on their apps and things. If
they have said that for a couple of years now.
Right.
So we can at least be optimistic that anything that they would need to support their own smartphone apps would be the same tools that we would need.
Right.
It's just a matter of do they plan to make that available to third parties? And I would think so, but that's time remains to tell. So on that topic, JJ, not to sound repetitive, but it really is important. We really need for the stream users to let us know in that category of where should we focus our efforts, because all of those things we've discussed, they require partnerships.
Right.
The technical side is actually not overly challenging, but agreements and partnerships and a little bit of customization, because each API is different. But we need to we can't do them all at once, obviously. We have certain resources.
Sure.
So we want to make sure that we're focusing on the ones of the highest interest. And
sure.
We don't want to make that assumption. We want to make sure that we're hearing that from the users.
Gotcha.
So,
speaking of things heard from the users, we wanted to get an update on there was a situation with this stream and originally losing support for Audible. Can you update us on what's going on there?
Yeah. Basically, when we talked to Audible and let them know that we're doing a new version of the stream, and we've been working with Audible for a number of years, they let us know what we had already been hearing, that there had been some changes at Audible with their business model, and that essentially the program under which we were partnered with them before no longer exists at Audible. It was like Audible Ready MP3 Players or something it was called. And they want to focus, and it's not that uncommon these days, they've decided to focus on the smartphones and Kindle and so on, especially being owned by Amazon now. That's not surprising, right?
Right.
And you know, our relationship has always been very good with them. That hasn't changed. It was just, as I said, a business decision. But we still wanted to make sure that we did all we could to make them aware that it's a significant percentage of Stream users that are also Audible customers.
Sure.
And we wanted them to know that they would be losing that, and we would really hope that we could find some way to continue on. So that's what the discussion was for quite a while. And when it got to be launch time and we had to make a final decision, there was essentially, even if they had changed their decision that day, it was too late in terms of getting the product.
Well, right. So in your, while announcing or at some point,
yeah,
you had to let people know that was the case.
We did, and we needed to be completely honest, knowing mm-hmm. that there's so many users, so we had to tell them if Audible is a deal breaker for you, then unfortunately we can't recommend that you buy the Stream, and no company wants to have to say that, but it's better to tell the truth. And
right.
One thing we did have, and we still might have some, but it's quickly going away. We did have a little inventory of older Streams, so there was still a solution we could provide as long as we still had some.
Sure.
So that takes us to today, and the discussions have continued, and without trying to form any type of advocacy push or anything like that,
right.
That's not our role as a manufacturer. However, we did have to say something to people, so when they would call us and express their concern, we were just saying, you know, we agree, and the best thing is probably to make sure that Audible hears that from you as their customer.
It sounds like they
and
might
I think
have.
That happened to the extreme. I don't think Audible, even though we tried to prepare them, I don't think they were prepared for the response they received from Stream users, and it just goes to show that really is how things get done, right, at
mm-hmm.
the grassroots
yeah.
level. So I'm prepared to say to your listeners that I think that it's safe to say that they can expect to see some official announcement soon, and
mm-hmm.
I think that announcement should come from Humanware and Audible together, just to clarify the information that we've been providing along the
sure.
way has been accurate, and to explain of why there might be a change, and however we want to phrase that. But bottom line is, I think the users have been heard, and that's really a positive thing.
Okay. A lot has changed since you came out with the first Stream, and you know, 5+ years ago,
mm-hmm.
and of course, you know, there was no iPhone at that point, and
mm-hmm.
you know, the way that a lot of people get their books and other audio, you know, a lot of people are moving towards mobile devices. So, what would you say are some of the reasons why, you know, to still choose a Stream or, you know, or device like that over, say, just people? Some people will say, "Well, I just want to do it on my phone."
Mm-hmm. No, and that's a good point. I mean, you can do so many things on smartphones, and I think you and I both do that. We both travel a lot for business, and it's very convenient to have as much as possible in the one device.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a couple of things from talking with people, and even I can use myself. I might be the product manager, but I'm also a user, and the user interface, the consistency of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, on an iPhone, the gestures are the same. However, it stops there, because depending on the type of content you're playing, you're almost always going to have to use a different app to play the content.
Right.
And each of those is going to have their own interface. And so if I put myself in the setting of, not that this happens very often, but I finally get to a hotel after a full day of travel
right.
delays and so on, and you just want to read a bit before you go to bed, even if I have an app to play the content of wherever the book is from on my phone, if I'm just going to read for a few minutes and I know I'm going to be falling asleep anyway, I can reach over to a bedside table, make contact with that familiar keypad, and if I need to press the button to add 15 more minutes to the sleep timer or to skip back a subsection, I can do that without
right.
being very lucid on a Stream. On an iPhone, I've got to be a little more aware of what I'm doing and remember, the back button on that one's up at the top instead of at the bottom.
Right.
So I think that there's a lot to be said for that. And people have been coming to tell me this week that they're in that setting. They're smartphone users, but there's something more personal, I think, to a lot of people about book reading, and they really appreciate having the dedicated player that's focused on playing the books. They still have their phone available in their pocket. They can be reached to receive a text at the same time they're reading. You can't do that. I mean, as many things as you can do on an iPhone.
Right.
And they might call it multitasking, but what we're talking about, you have to stop one thing to do the other, right?
Right.
And this way you can do both. So there's a few reasons to have both, for sure. There's other times when we certainly appreciate it is convenient to do everything on one device.
Sure.
It depends on the user.
Well, and probably, too, a lot of your users are not going to be even smartphone users. We assume as mm-hmm. techie geek types that, everyone has a smartphone. And of course, that's far from the case, especially in this market.
There are many people who are not able to utilize a touchscreen interface, no matter how accessible it's been made, and there are many people who could and still aren't interested in such. So there's needs to be solutions for both of those groups.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, you guys as a company still feel there's still plenty of a market to continue producing dedicated hardware, even especially with the NLS app coming out and everything else.
Very much so, because that the smartphone applications and then even NLS wouldn't claim to say that that's the solution for everyone. It's mm-hmm. just another option, and that's a great thing.
Okay, so you have the streams are shipping now. And
they
how,
are.
And how much are they?
The streams are $369. So essentially the same price. So for a few months we've had a promotion going on. So
right.
It might appear to be a price increase, but it's not. It's $10 more, I believe. But for all of the new features that are there, it's essentially the same price.
Okay.
Especially since the some of the extra features, we didn't talk about it earlier, but previously some people might know there was what we called a soft pack that added some functionality to the player, some
right.
content types, iTunes, MP4 files, unprotected EPUB,
mm-hmm.
allowing you to record in MP3 format instead of AMR wideband. All of those things were unlocked by purchasing the soft pack, which no longer exists. So all of that functionality from the soft pack's included for no extra charge.
Would there be a consideration for doing that again? Because, as you mentioned, there was free updates for 5 years, but then some mm-hmm. people would say that was an update that wasn't free.
Yeah, well, we didn't consider that an update. That was adding functionality that required... There was a cost to HumanWare to deliver that functionality because mm-hmm. it wasn't in the original design.
Gotcha.
So since okay. we've included it from day one now, that's all been factored into the design costs of the product. So.
Okay. And then as far as updates, obviously not really a timetable at this point, but you think later this year there would be something to talk about as far as wireless or other
There will things. Definitely be things this year to talk about.
Okay. Any plans of beta software, anything like that? Or
Yeah, I've thought this over, and at some point, as a product becomes... I don't want to say more complex, but as it has more capabilities added and there's people using it in so many different ways, some people strictly read an NLS book and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Some people use the recording functions more. Some people never use them. So it's important to leverage that and to get as many user cases involved in your testing, because they're going to find different issues and come up with different suggestions on how things can be done better and give us ideas that we never would have thought of. And I believe that one of the best ways to do that is through some type of more public beta process where more people can be involved. You have to do that in a structured way, and you have to set
Sure.
the correct expectations of its. If people choose to do that, you need to make it clear that you're not able to provide support for them.
Right.
And the volume of feedback becomes such that you're not able to personally respond to every comment or suggestion
right.
that's
mm-hmm.
sent in. But I think as long as we communicate that well, I think that it would really benefit us as a company mm-hmm. to maximize the feedback that we receive.
Great. As far as the accessories, like the CD accessory, are those still compatible, or are there different models?
There is still it's the same CD ROM drive that connects now
okay.
through the micro USB.
If somebody were to, right, other than having to get a different cable?
They don't even need that. The player still comes with the long and the short USB cables.
Oh, right, true.
So
okay.
the short one would be used for connecting a thumb drive or the CD accessory if they need that.
Okay.
And the functionality is still there, so when any external is connected, even an NLS cartridge can
right.
be cabled to the player, you can use the Key3
right.
to copy it to your SD card.
Right, so if you have these from the original stream, then you don't need to get them again.
Yeah, that's right. The only thing that we don't have now is we used to have that optional NLS cartridge holder
mm-hmm.
for the US that kind of snapped on the back. There is no such thing anymore. The player's too compact for that, and it really wasn't that popular anyway.
Okay.
So you can connect the cartridge with the supplied cable and play directly from it, or what most people do, as we said, is they just copy it and then send it back in the mail.
Sure. Does it come with a case, or?
It's changed. It used to come with a case. It was like a fabric or a vinyl kind of thing.
Right. Well, and a lot of people would cover. And then a lot of people would go back and buy the executive case.
They did, and many of them we found don't use any case if they're not a traveler or whatever.
Okay.
So what we did is we made a change, and the new stream comes with. I would call it more of like a silicone skin, like for a smartphone.
Oh, okay.
So it covers the outer edges of the player and the entire back is the silicone. So it's some nice protection from impact, and all of the keys in the face of the player are exposed and accessible.
Okay.
And then, as you said, the people that really want more substantial protection, we've continued to partner with the executive products guys. They do really nice work.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've done a redesign of the leather case, and it's got a nice magnetic closure on it instead of the Velcro, and a pocket for a few SD cards.
Do you know if that's available yet, or when it will be?
It is available. It's available now from Humanware and from Executive Products.
Okay. Sounds good. If people want to get more information about the stream or contact Humanware, what's the best way to do that?
There's quite a bit of information available online. I always say that first because people can do that any time of day or night. So it's at humanware.com on the web. Or you're welcome to call us for anything we can do, and that's toll-free, 800-722-3393.
Matthew, thank you so much for showing us the new stream. We look forward to the developments.
It's always a pleasure, JJ, and I'm sure that you and I will talk later in the year.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys. Copyright 2013.